One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Announcing to everyone that Jesus is Lord and Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
In the history of the Christian church, the Lord's Supper has been one of the most misunderstood ordinances, gospel ordinances, that Jesus has given to his church. It's sad. Something that's meant to be such a spiritual blessing, we have taken, we have made it common, we throw it to whomever wants to take it. We'd even do it personally, contrary to the design in which the Lord ordained it. We have so many problems today in appreciating and understanding even what the Lord's Supper means and why we need it. It's something that needs to be recovered. God gave us two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is designed to be spiritual nourishment for your souls. We're going to look at that today on Abounding Grace and the struggle that first century Corinth had in their abuse of the Lord's Supper, as Paul is seeking to reform it, that they might practice it to their spiritual benefit and to the glory of God. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we do invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. Again, agradio.org. Download the podcast, write to us, and also we want to invite you to download our newly developed app at Abounding Grace Radio. Do that on your smartphone at your Play Store. You're welcome to call us at 888-504-8805. Again, 888-504-8805. So here now is a message taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 on the Lord's Supper and the importance of that for the Christian life. We hope this is a blessing to you, that you would fully partake and understand more of the blessings that God has given you in your Christianity, that you might be strengthened in your faith, grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and learn to be a servant of others. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we are judged ourselves, truly we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. There ends the reading of God's word. This morning, I want to consider with you, as we anticipate coming to the table of our Lord, I want to consider with you the warning that is here given and this call that the apostle gives us under the inspiration of the Spirit to examine ourselves and discern the body and the blood of Christ so that we would enjoy in true faith Christ and all of his benefits given to us in the supper. One of the things that I have noticed in my time as a pastor, and something that I will confess that I've struggled with myself, is that when people approach church today, the thing that they are looking for, the thing that they think when they come they have a right to, is that everything should be positive. Everything should be upbeat. I have this need to feel good and right when I come. Worship needs to be that. It needs to be this upbeat, positive, happy experience. That's something that people generally think when they come to worship, that's exactly what they need, and that's exactly what they're looking for, and so they're going to determine best what kind of church suits that, and if they're in a church that doesn't really give that, they might say, well, I'm not really happy, I'll stay there, but I'm not really happy. I'm looking for something that's much more upbeat, positive, and happy. There's a danger in that that most people don't realize and recognize. A very great danger. The danger is this. The seriousness, and I have to emphasize that today, the seriousness of what we do and the weight of who we are coming before often gets clouded, and we lose that as we go on, and it's easy for us to come together and forget what this is all about and who this is all about. There were moments in history when God's people forgot this, and it always came, it's interesting, in the moments of really wow worship services, really big worship services where everyone was pumped up. And what did God do in the midst of some of the greatest worship services that we have recorded in Scripture? I'm thinking of Nadab and Abihu. He struck them. Who can forget Uzzah just reaching out, and they were dancing. They have the ark back. They're dancing. They're excited, and they're carrying the ark back. Everyone's happy. The music is flowing, and the oxen just happen to stumble, and Uzzah stops it with his hand. Who wouldn't do that? And God strikes him dead, and David is overwhelmed with absolute grief. What in the world? He was angry at the Lord. Who can forget in the New Testament Ananias and Sapphira, who were holding back in their giving, and God struck them dead. What? That doesn't make sense. I mean, that just does not make sense. The church is booming. The church is growing. You can't have that kind of thing happen in the life of the church because, well, if that happens, who's going to want to join them? And the strange thing that happened in Acts was that was the very thing that happened. Great fear fell on everyone so that, and I quote, no one dared join them. Oh, you guys would be so nervous about that, wouldn't you? Everyone thought about daring, just didn't dare to join us because they knew, man, that's serious stuff if I go over to the church over there and join them. That makes us so uncomfortable, so uncomfortable. Have you ever had a sense where you're going along and you've forgotten how things really are, and all of a sudden you've had a sense of fear and awe and wonder and trembling over this God? I did years ago when I heard someone who was excommunicated. The dirty word that all of us get very nervous about. It troubled me as I sat there and listened to the leaders read it. I was so disturbed. And I was young, and I remember the wording that really got a hold of me as they were doing that. Here's what they read. You have seen, dear brothers and sisters, in what manner this our excommunicated brother has begun to fall and gradually come to ruin. Learn then from how subtle Satan is to bring man to destruction and to draw him away from all salutary means of salvation. Guard yourselves then against the least beginnings of evil. But this is what got me. It was the prayer. This is in our form, by the way. The prayer said this: O righteous God, merciful Father, we blame ourselves for our sins. and acknowledge that we have justly deserved the sorrow and pain caused us by the excommunication of this our late fellow member. Yes, if you should enter into judgment with us, we all deserve to be excluded and banished from your presence on account of our great transgression. Do you know what the effect was I had when I heard that for the first time in my life? I'd never heard that. I trembled. I had never had something come over me like that. I had never felt like that. And I had the sense of, wow, this is really serious business. That effect. Well, this morning, we have a passage that's meant to do that. That's why I rehearse all of that. We have a passage that's meant to do that. I struggled with this because here's a passage on the Lord's Supper, and I want it to be upbeat. It's a gospel ordinance. I want it to be upbeat, and everyone's happy, and everyone comes, and no one's feeling anything. I mean, you know, threatened. That's the sense of the sinful desire I want often. Well, it's an ordinance that's meant to strengthen, an ordinance that, as you hear it, the Lord wants to assure. But then as I read the text that we're working through, I came to verse 29 and I thought, there it is. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick, and many of you have died. Okay, Pastor, what are you going to do with that, right? What are you going to do with that? I have a choice. Brush it off. Then I have to answer the Lord or preach it in the intention of the Lord. And so as I sat in my study this week, I thought, the Lord knows what he's doing. That really does knock away a casual, nonchalant, undiscerning, going through the motions approach to this, doesn't it? It just kicks it right out of the park. And then I thought, well, God knows what he's doing. Maybe that's exactly what I need right now. Maybe that's exactly what this church needs right now. A sense of godly fear and awe, maybe it's been lacking. The Lord's Supper is a blessing. The Lord's Supper is a blessing when received by faith, but it's nothing to trifle with. You don't want to trifle with this. Its purpose is to help struggling sinners in the wilderness who are really struggling and feeling the burden of the struggle. Its intention, its design, is so that the participant would be strengthened in true faith and know Christ's saving, living power is available to them and be assured of that. The body and the blood of Christ being offered to you by faith as your souls are nourished. When it's not appreciated or received in faith, the consequences can be, well, the word doesn't seem to do it justice in light of our text, severe. And that's what we learn from Corinth. Corinth, look at the state of this church. They were doing no discipline because I guess it seemed mean. No discipline of its members. Remember back in chapter 5. And because of that, the result was there was no more fear of God in this church. This church was just a club. This church was coming together and it was a social club where everyone got together and it was the thing you did over and over and over, and they had the cookies and they had everything, but it's all was. There was no fear happening. Everything had been torn down. The intention and design of truly worshiping the Lord had been lost in this church. No sense of the presence of God among them. Awe and wonder that really happened. We're in the presence of God when we come. And because of that, nothing happened to prepare their hearts or drive their hearts to prepare them to be in the presence of God. And then the carelessness and the abuse transferred right to this supper. And so what Paul does here in this particular text to help this church is that Paul begins to explain the meaning of the supper. We looked at that last time in verse 23. What we found is that there were terrible abuses happening in Corinth with regard to the supper, along with a host of other problems. If you look back to verse 17, he says, when you guys are coming together for worship, it's for the worse. And we know now it's for judgment. Divisions were happening. And he said something shocking. You're not coming, when you come, you're not eating the Lord's Supper. Did you see that there? It's not the Lord's Supper that you're eating. To which you say, well, what are they eating? Paul had already made a contrast between the table of the Lord and the table of demons back in the previous chapter. It's not the Lord's Supper. And then he highlights what was going on in this. When you eat, some people are going ahead of others, and one person sits there, one gets drunk, and another one doesn't. And I said last time, it proves they had wine in the supper. They had a feast of wine in the supper. But the abuses went something like this. Paul says, don't you have houses to eat in? What happened in Corinth was, on a given Sunday, it was a whole day together in the Lord's house. They spent that together. And you had worship, and then you had what was characterized as love feasts, the dinners that would occur after. We have a dinner today. And the supper became conflated into the love feast. It was joined together with the love feasts. And the problem was, those love feasts, as they were characterized, Jude talks about that, at least how people called them this, they looked nothing like the kind of things that went on at the trade guilds when people came together and they ate together. Well, what happened at the trade guilds? All the rich got the best wine. You remember the king said that in John 2, when Jesus served the good wine last. You bring out the best wine. All the rich drank the best wine at these great feasts. And what happened was the poor were being pushed out, just like what would go on. All of those of low socioeconomic status, whatever it might be, there was a whole chain, a whole ladder. And so you could imagine it. The best wine just kept coming to those who were the high-end rollers, if you will. And then you had the low who didn't get any. Some didn't even get to take. This was going on in the supper, so that they were getting drunk, and Paul has had it. Well, what you have in front of you this morning is a call to examine yourselves. Look at verse 27. He says in verse 27, therefore, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Now, the way that Paul got there to make any kind of case for the importance of this is that he explained last time, and we looked at this somewhat, what the supper is. And in verse 23, he began to do that, for he said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body. In the night in which he was betrayed, Paul wanted them to think about that. Paul wanted them to really think about the institution of the supper, why Jesus gave it, and the heart, the time in which that was instituted. Do you remember that scene in Matthew chapter 26? Evening had come. They had all sat down. Jesus had sat down with the 12. And as they were all eating, he begins to say something to them that caused ultimate alarm and distress. Remember what he said? One of you will betray me. Can you imagine that? I thought to myself, here were these 21 Coptic Christians who were beheaded. Do you ever think that could have been you? No, I don't really think that. Do you ever think that could have been you? What if Jesus looked at us and said tonight, one of you will be beheaded by ISIS tonight? That's far less than betraying the Son of God. When he said that, we read they all had sorrow come over them, besides one, of course. And each of them began to say, Lord, is it I? Lord, I'm not the one, am I? That's how it reads. Could I do that? Would I do that to you? Am I going to be the one to do that to you? What came over the disciples at that moment was a recognition that they had no power to hold themselves. They had no strength in themselves to keep themselves from something like that. It was a despairing moment. And one of you will betray me. And then we hear this deep, heart-wrenching, heart-searching concern that they are questioning their loyalty to Jesus. They are really struggling with their loyalty to the king. Lord, I'm not the one, am I? And then Jesus seems to amplify it, the problem. I mean, this gets worse if you look at the text. He says, he who dipped his hand with me in this dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he would have never been born. Woe. It would have been better if he never existed. Is it me? You feel that? And then, right there, he institutes this. Right in the midst of that, he institutes the supper. And the message was clear. In the midst of one of the most distressing moments of fear and doubt and discouragement and what in the world, I might do that. In the midst of all of that, he does something that would declare to them very clearly that he would give his body and his blood for them. And as they were sitting there eating the Passover, Jesus takes the bread right in front of them, and then we know that he institutes the supper, and he gives it to his disciples, and he says, take, eat. This is my body. That's what he picks up on. That's what Paul picks up on right there. Paul takes the spotlight and he drops it right there. This is my body. And then he took the cup and gave it to them saying, drink of it. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. This is my body. This is my blood for you. Given for you. Lord, it's not I. Is it? Jesus holds up the bread and the wine, and they are seeing visibly right there that what Jesus is about to undergo, he is doing for them so that they can have confidence. He holds it up, commanding them to eat and to drink. When they partook in true faith, they were being given life right then from him, strength, help. That's what the supper is. It's spiritually the life of Christ flowing into them as the vine and the branches. And they were able to taste and see that he was for them, that he's good, that he's not against them, that none of their failures could pluck them out of his hand, as he would say. This is my blood of the new covenant, the covenant of grace ratified as the body of Christ is broken open and his blood spilled for us. They saw by faith the Lamb of God stepping vicariously and sacrificially into their place and paying the debt, securing eternity, securing their happiness, telling them they're forgiven. That's what it declares. Now, do you understand the offense of Corinth? You understand why the Lord would be worked up over this? Can you imagine the offense in heaven when God gave his son and God puts him through that and pours out his wrath on his body and his soul for them and they come casually. They come opening it up for anyone. It's a big feast. They eat and drink without any kind of care in the world that God put his son through that. Takes on a little bit more meaning now, doesn't it? And it's in that context that Paul says, if you eat and you drink in an unworthy manner, do you know what you're doing? You're guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. There's no discernment. You're not discerning that body. The very body should be taken in two ways here. It's used in two ways in this whole section. The body being his body that was offered up on the altar, on the cross for you. You're not discerning it. You're not thinking, you're not even recognizing what it cost for you to even be here. And you're not realizing that your separations that you're promoting when you come and you eat and you drink, separations of class and racial divisions and all these kind of things that you do in aligning with those who are most comfortable with you, who are like you, all those kinds of separations are assaulting the very thing that the cross tore down. It made us one.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. You can't live the Christian life by yourself. Even the Lone Ranger had a buddy. Jesus founded a community, people with whom to share the Christian faith and the Christian life. One place to find it is in the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, Escondido. Sunday services 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. 760-745-1679. 760-745-1679. On the web, eurc.org. Don't be a Lone Ranger.